This is Rafflebix After Hours.
Welcome, denizens of the internet and people who now reside in 2021. Rack Addicts After Hours time. Once more, it's my great pleasure to introduce you to the updated models of me. My name is Ben. Updated 2021 edition. We also have the new version of Pete. Luke and Telmo were a foursome once again through the power of the internet, though not anywhere near each other because, as you may know, another lockdown. Surprise, surprise. Yes, lockdown number 75 in the UK. But we can all hear each other. We can see each other. So life is good. The podcast begins. How's everyone been? It's been a few weeks. We had a bit of Christmas in the way. Just a small dosage of Christmas.
And some New Year.
And, oh, yeah, that happened too. Wasn't a big event over in
It was more like a kind of like a firework that didn't go off properly.
Pretty much. I think the most exciting thing that happened over here was we deployed a jigsaw, I think.
What you did in your apartment?
Yeah, well, I mean, we didn't. It's still going. We haven't finished it. But okay. That was
a jigsaw. I had a vision. I suddenly, for some reason, I was thinking of the tool, not the picture cut up in wiggly shapes.
No, the much less exciting, the flat one with lots of bits.
No, I did. I did some with my daughter, some 1,000-piece ones during the first lockdown. It was quite.
It's a 1,000-piecer, and it's going. But let me see what you guys have been up to, because we do need a catch-up, of course. Let's start with Pete. Your holiday season. Sum it up in just one single word. That's all you get. I'm joking. Do whatever. Take us through it.
Too much of the wrong kind of food.
Ah, perfect. That's what we need.
That's 8 words,
by the way. About it, really. Very low-key, just really sort of rinsing the all the streaming services, all the video stuff. Lots of YouTube. Well, that's my normal stance anyway. Netflix, finishing off the Mandalorian, finishing off the Star Trek, which I did, I want to say, yesterday.
Nice one.
Just catching up with anything and then repeating some stuff because there's not been much really new, certainly not in the film area, because they've been holding their films back, haven't they? They haven't been releasing them. So.
Yeah, of course. Cinema doing very little these days.
There was a couple of Disneys that they released exclusively on the Disney Plus.
Have you seen Soul? It's pretty good.
Yeah, Soul. That was very good animation and quite interesting musically as well.
Mm. Speaking of Disney-related things and animation, has anybody seen the trailers for, the name escapes me, but there is a new 3D animated Studio Ghibli film.
Oh.
And obviously the previous ones being beautiful, hand-drawn, just absolutely delicious films. And now they've gone for the 3D. And it's a bit... It's not Uncanny Valley disturbing, because they're not realistic at all in terms of proportions and things. It's just creepy.
Oh.
Not a fan. Yeah. And most of the internet doesn't appear to be a fan anyway.
No, I suspect that sort of rips the heart out of the essence of it.
Yeah, the whole thing was that really rustic, homegrown and really comforting sort of vibe that pervades the whole catalogue. That's why people love Ghibli.
Mm. I mean, there was something similar, different style, obviously, that was on Netflix last year. I did watch it all, but that was a 3D version of Ghost in the Shell.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Which, obviously, the original 2D, I suspect, hand-drawn... version is a classic, but Hollywoodized it.
Is it with Scarlett Johansson?
Yeah, and that was critiqued, and I think we've mentioned it before that the big, from my point of view, that they were relatively faithful to the story, but they didn't have the backing track, which was the big part of the original cartoon, original animation, where they had this sort of cross between Japanese opera and sort of. I think it was Bulgarian, kind of Gorgarian chant or something like that. It was a very bizarre, very haunting score for that particular film, and they completely did something else, which kind of took away the atmosphere, unfortunately.
Yeah, I do need to really go back and actually watch the original. I've seen snippets of it, but it's something I should definitely take the time on. So definitely media heavy in Pete's household season. Luke, you mentioned you might be a little bit Scroogey this time of the year. But how was it? I mean, you'll have had a break from work and you've spent time with your other half. Was it a nice break? What did you get up to?
It's been lovely, actually. Yeah, I've bounced off of the Christmas break into a week off starting on the 4th, which we've been using to paint the house. We were very optimistic and bought lots of paint for different rooms. And after 5 days of work, we have accomplished one lounge. So I have a newfound respect for painters and decorators, builders, yeah. Tradesmen of all that sort. And big shout out to a member of the Birdsworth band who does that for a living. I wouldn't want to.
Which one is
it? It's not. I can't say. His identity must remain secret, so you know which one. But yeah, I've been doing that. I'm not a massively festive fiend, it must be said. But we'd have a nice little break. We caught up with my not mother-in-law, which was lovely. As far as lockdown would permit, we sort of sat.
No, it's your mother outlaw.
Mother outlaw.
Your mother is an outlaw.
She is indeed. Yeah, she behaves like one. It's great. She's good fun. But we caught up with her briefly in the garage, 2 meters apart, and all that stuff. Had dinner just the two of us at home here. We traded some cool gifts. My favourite gift that I've had is actually was bought more of a joke, but it's the best thing I've had in years. It's a coffee maker for coffee grounds, but just sort of for one cup, and it's just beautiful. You just pour a couple of teaspoons of coffee into the top, which is like a sort of filter mechanism, a sort of like a very fine sieve, and then just pour hot water over it and allow it to drip through like a filter coffee. And it's great. I've been using it every day. I haven't bought instant since.
As a bit of a coffee nerd, I must know, what is it? What's it called?
I don't know what it's called, but essentially it's a sort of glass bulb, a jug, if you will, with just a filter on top, but the filter is reusable. It's metal.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, awesome. Just That's allows really you cool. to pour one filter coffee, and I adore
welcome
it.
To the better half of the world of coffee.
Yes,
and if you have any kind of sort of personality where you like to get into the technicalities and get a bit nerdy about things, it only gets better.
I used to be a sort of never formally trained barista. It was one of my first jobs as a waiter and barman at an Italian restaurant, and part of that was making coffee. So I used to be treated to espresso coffee every day, all the time, usually too many for one shift, but since then I haven't really enjoyed good coffee on tap, and this has been a game changer. So definitely a good Christmas for me.
Definitely sounds it. The more coffee, the better. My highlight would be a temperature controlled pouring kettle for my coffee escapades. It's incredible. You just set your temperature and it just kind of keeps it there, which also has an interesting application in the bread world. They always say, oh yes, add some water to your 10 grams of yeast at 37 degrees. Now I can just do it, program it into my kettle, and I have my water on tap. That's brilliant. For our Christmas, we did a bit of a Japanese feast, my partner being vegan, no turkey allowed in this flat, so there was a lot of deep fried things. Courgette tempura, a newfound love. That was
very zucchini.
That was great. Oh yes, zucchini for our intercontinental friends. Anything else other than courgette and zucchini? I think it's only got two names, but that was fantastic. Really nice and relaxed, though we didn't get to see any of the family. It was nice. Over the break, I've got a little bit more into the Warhammer side of things, so the miniature painting. The complete pile is actually growing at last. It was just a lot of grey plastic, but now we've got some finished models, and it's nice. My colleagues will know my internet is next to pointless. So when I've been uploading large video files for work, I told Pete earlier today, a 2 gigabyte file took a bit over 7 hours, I think, to upload. So between having to download assets and upload things and not being able to do anything else in between, I've just been doing a lot of painting. So there are perks for working from home. It's not been a bad holiday. I feel. What about you, Tomo? What have you been up to these days?
Well, I had a great Christmas. I had a traditional homely Christmas with all the codfish and all that sort of stuff, which was pretty nice. The highlight of this sort of season for me was actually post, you know, New Year's, when was actually this week that my music played on the radio for the first time on BBC Introducing on Wednesday, and actually should be playing at any minute again, now that I'm looking at the time, 2059, and played also on a Portuguese radio, my local Portuguese radio in Porto, Radio Nova. And yeah, so I've been thrilled for that, because as I've released the single on Friday, having the chance to share with people beforehand on Wednesday, in this case, it was just great. So yeah, apart from that, it's all good. Back to university and feeling alive.
Lovely stuff. Excellent achievement, and really, really cool to see PGIPT going from strength to strength. It's also great, something I've mentioned before, I really enjoy the kind of community aspect. We all know a lot of the same people, and a lot of our friends are either incredibly talented musicians, artisans, and all of them incredible human beings in general. But, you know, seeing PGIPT turn up at burfieldrecordingstudios.com and things like that on Instagram, and just seeing it kind of spread throughout the world, fills my heart with joy. Mm-hmm. It's lovely. And I'll use this opportunity to nag you again. Physical PGIPT things, get some CDs, cassettes, vinyl, whatever. I will buy it. I have a small collection of my friend's music in the physical world, and it's my favourite thing.
I have to say,
Luke,
I'm looking at
prices. I'm looking at you. Get me that vinyl for the Word's Birth.
I'm
I need
just
it.
Hiding behind my pop shield here for those of us who are tuning in via audio only, which I presume is what we're doing today. So Ben can't see me.
I know you're there. Anyway, a lovely little catch-up. Ooh, hang on, he's holding a thing. Wait, what's that, Telmo?
He's actually got one. Oh, dear.
What am I looking at?
I've got one. Birdsworth. I can just lend it to you, man. Just come and get it.
It's the thing you seek.
I can't steal yours. I've got to have my own for my own little hands to hold and cherish and love.
Look at that.
Is that 12-inch? Is that, how big's that record?
That's a 7-inch, isn't it?
It's a 7-inch. I couldn't work out the size. It's
either my hands are too big or too small. that's the boy. And also, obviously, the flyer of the gig where I bought it, which we happened to open up for you guys, which was a pleasure as usual.
That was a great night.
Yeah, it was great.
That was a really good night. I enjoyed that. Was that off the cuff? Is that what that was?
That's right. Yep. That's off the cuff.
In Brixton. And
Saturday, the 9th of September, probably 2018.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Or 17. Gosh, I'd have to look at the calendar.
Oh, boy. Yeah, probably 17, to be honest. Anyway.
From the deep and distant past, I must get my hands on one before they disappear forever.
Oh, don't worry, there's plenty.
Not once we've advertised them all over the internet, maybe.
Speaking of, depending on when this podcast airs, there will be, I can't say what yet, but there will be Birdsworth news this week. So I won't say too much lest I get shot, but yes.
Where do people need to be on the internet to see these newses before everybody else?
All the standard places. You can go to Birdsworth's Facebook page, Instagram, Twitter. We also have our own site, which is gravybase.com. So you can check that out. That's gravybase.com.
Speaking of plugging things like Burfield Recording Studios and gravybase.com, I have previously said standardtapes.bandcamp.com, which is where you can no longer get my EP. Unfortunately, Standard Tapes is no longer a thing, so you'll be able to buy them from me now. Galactic Bathtub by Robert Rhodes. It will probably be on Bandcamp at some point. So, from a little bit of a holiday roundup and plugging of our own stuff, because that's why you're here, a little bit of a call out. Please do engage with us, because we're very lonely on our social media at RackAddictsUK. Please let us know what you think, and if you're enjoying this podcast, please comment and let us know you're there, because we appreciate your listens and we'd like to speak to you. It'd be great. at RackAddictsUK on various social medias. You can find us everywhere. From our opening segment, into the news. I don't think Top Gear have a trademark on that section of stuff. But Pete, you've prepared us a couple of things. And because, you know, the whole pandemic stuff is just going off again, there isn't any.
No,
it's NAMM season, so it's gone.
Yes, and there's no NAMM either. Well, there is, but it's virtual. And it's not even a NAMM. It describes itself as a Believe in Music Week.
Okay.
And it's around the same time. It's commencing on January the 18th, 2021. And basically it says it will feature a mix of comprehensive programming and professional education at the believemusic.tv. So it's I don't know if it's interactive or it's just passive watching. And I don't think there's going to be a very... Yeah, I don't think I'm not sure if there's really going to be much in the way of trade announcements or product announcements. I think most people will be channeling it through their own sort of social media platforms and so
hopefully
forth.
It means they could do announcements when they're actually ready to release their product rather than, you know, rushing it for an event and potentially releasing something before it's ready, which does seem to be a growing theme, has been a growing theme for a long time. Video games before they're ready. Cyberpunk. you know, things like the OPZ was released well before it was ready. Yeah, it's annoying. Please let's stop. maybe we can learn from this year of non-trade shows.
Should we maybe suppose that in a couple of years when things kind of go back to normal, and I say this between commas because we don't know yet, the uselessness of these events, let me put it this way. May these events become a bit more useless throughout time because companies are just getting used to release stuff whenever. I mean, it's great. I think it's a great way of getting around the whole thing. I mean, Believe in Music, of course, it's super great name. They're still pushing through as an interactive marketplace. But, you know, it used to be NAMM. You know, it hits my heart.
Yes, but I mean, I think California is really going for it at the moment. It'd be completely inappropriate to have any type of trade show. I note there are trade shows going on, but they tend to be in the sort of Middle East, in Dubai and other places like that. And I would imagine they're applying all the sort of top level of safety where they're compelling people to have regular tests and being very scrupulous about how they police it in a biological sense.
Yeah, I don't know about you guys, but my interaction with any trade show, be it NAMM, other ones we've got on the list, Superbooth and Synthfest, being synth nerds and music nerds that we are, to me they exist as an onslaught on my YouTube subscriptions. I don't go to them, I don't partake in them in any other way than there's a lot of YouTube videos, product announcements, demos, sneak peeks, all this kind of stuff. Surely it would be a great opportunity to use the technology that has been developing and in greater focus over the pandemic with virtual learning, distance communication, all this kind of rubbish. Surely it's a great opportunity to virtualize this kind of convention a bit more. It can't be difficult to have all of your suppliers prepare content beforehand. I mean, they're going to have to prepare booths and things anyway. I imagine the vast number of consumers that are interested in the products at these shows are like us. They watch it from afar, worldwide, rather than people that can get to California and can get a press pass to look at the stuff. I don't know, food for thought, but I think there's a better way to go about these when we can't have people.
Yeah, quite possibly, but especially NAMM is a particularly orientated around the trade, and it is a opportunity for the retailers to meet the distributors and manufacturers, and they cut a lot of deals are cut at NAMM, aren't they? A bit like some of the other trade shows that have been cancelled, like isn't it CES? Wasn't that meant to be on around this sort of time? It's the same thing. It's essentially a trade show, and may or may not have one day or a couple of days that are open to the general public. But the crux of the show is to do deals, to do business. It's just not necessarily very well facilitated by virtualization. It's very that type of thing is still a very in-person type of activity, isn't it?
With lots of handshakes, which are obviously now illegal.
Yeah, they have to be resort to the elbow bumps.
Wonder if the has anyone done a study on the elbow bump safety?
Well, it's got to be a lot handy. I mean, I did hear early on I don't know if it was someone from the WTO, one health professional sort of suggesting that the handshake is absolutely, even when we get past this, the handshake will be a thing of the past. It won't come back as a thing.
Take our lead from the countries that have always had contactless greetings anyway.
Mm. Japan.
Definitely. I knew what was going on.
Well, I suspect that's the very reason why they have it, apart from they're very into sort of deference and respecting personal space. Mm. And
I like that. I like personal space.
I can go with that. I'm really
get out of my personal space.
Don't you come in my personal space.
After saying recent years, everything...
Darling, what's the account for MySpace?
Sorry.
Yes. Yeah,
in recent years, everything was getting a bit too touchy-feely for me. I'm a bit old school. And so I'm quite liking that we're going back to a more sort of distant, respectful thing, even after we become, hopefully become free and uncontaminated of whatever various things going around.
It's very much cultural as well. I do like a good hug and a good handshake, but that's...
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, I know. And coming from a southern European country, the more southern European you get, the more touchy-feely they get. I often noted that going back to my relatives in Portugal and found it just not British, the way they carried on.
I didn't do well with our family friends in France. It freaked me out.
Yeah.
I quite like it, but at the same time, I don't know, maybe I'm just odd. I have to be in the mood. Sometimes I'm like, I think... The camaraderie aspect of it, I really enjoy. Like when you go to a gig, for example, you shake, fist bump, hug everybody there. It's just it's probably a proper breeding ground for bugs, I think I'll miss that because it's like it's part of that moment, isn't it? It's that we're all going to be on stage together. Well, generally, sometimes you get to a gig and you don't talk to the other bands, but certainly with the Gravy Base and the people we work with, it's always a case of like we try and have a pleasant time and sort of go for gigs where we're working with people we enjoy working with and who are like-minded. So I certainly will miss that. But at the same time, I think I've adapted to the lockdown life quite well because, I don't know, like I say, if it's not a gig, I'm kind of like, I'm just going to stay way over here. I don't know. It depends on what it is. Like I think there's... It will be a shame if we become distant again as a culture, but at the same time, I don't mind being locked in my house so much. It's kind of a weird... Catch-22 thing. I can't make my mind up.
The thing is, it's gone on so long and it's set to continue for quite a long period ahead of us that it's these new social norms have become ingrained.
Well, you called it really early on, Pete. You said it was going to have really deep kind of cultural social impacts, like, you know, being a little bit unsettled by human contact. You called it really early on. It's totally gonna stick with us for a while.
And that's when I thought it was only going to last 6 or 8 weeks. We're only a year into it at the moment. And I've heard that comment from many other people, many other commentators saying exactly that they're almost squeamish when they see when I say historical, even videos or things from 12 months or 18 months ago where people, oh, look, those people are too close. Oh, no, they're touching. Oh,
yeah,
no, it's horrible.
I freak out sometimes. I go like, oh, what is he
exactly
doing? Oh, this is 2018. Okay, it's fine.
Yeah, exactly. It's unsettling because we've got so conditioned over the last... I've lost track. Is it 9 months? Is it longer? I mean, it started in February.
10 years.
Yeah, how long has it been? But yeah, we're so conditioned now that when you see sort of close contact, it certainly makes me feel slightly uncomfortable, even if I'm only witnessing it on the television.
Totally. And if you do want to laugh at us and go, they've got no idea what's coming for them, just go back and listen to our back catalogue on your favourite podcasting services, Spotify. Others are available. They've all slipped my mind. Anyway, trade shows gone, COVID everywhere. What fun, but Rack Addicts is still going on. And we have an excellent, slightly newish maybe, section to introduce to you with a fun jingle. It is time for Telmo to talk about jazz.
Let's talk
take it away.
Jazz. Does that work? All right, never mind. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Let's Talk About Jazz. This is a little segment. For this first sort of episode, I will be talking about I Got Rhythm. Now, this is a type of a genre of music. Obviously, we're talking about jazz. This is a type of structure of a song that really changed the way we look at improvisational music. So, for those who don't know, there's this gentleman called George Gershwin. He wrote I Got Rhythm. So we're talking about early 30s. And George Gershwin's favorite song among the most was this one. He wrote it to dedicate it to his brother Ira. It was basically a 32-bar AABA song that became a staple for jazz from then on. The good thing about the structure itself is that it allows you to create tension and to have harmonical devices that allows you to substitute chords in certain sections. So I'm not going to get into the whole structure of the song, but it was a type of structure that could be mutable or interchanged into different keys very easily because of the Roman numerals technique that also got very much established at that time. So we're talking about 1 to 5 instead of thinking G and D. So we're talking about numbers. At this time, into the 50s, I Got Rhythm completely changed the game of jazz along with the blues. On one side, we had players like Charlie Parker in the bebop scene in New York doing Blues for Alice, for example, or Billy's Bounce, which was based on a blues sort of tradition, of structural tradition within jazz. And then at the same time, we had again, Charlie Parker doing Anthropology and coming up with these melodies over a rhythm changes or I Got Rhythm structure. So let's say that in the late 50s, this is just basically an album that I would recommend if you're not quite sure if every time you hear something, you know, that's a bit jazzy or you're like, oh, I like when it's jazzy, but then I just stop really understanding it. I don't know where it's going. I don't really get it, what they're doing, why are they playing so weird. Don't worry, I've been there. I totally recommend you to look at Ella Fitzgerald's Sing the Gershwin Songbook album. So this is a 1959 album. It's very lovely. It's obviously Ella Fitzgerald is the queen of vocal jazz. I absolutely recommend you. She did a brilliant job doing. She does like loads of Gershwin tunes like Clap Your Hands, Biding My Time. It's delicious to hear. I think honestly, if there's a definite collection of works in a prime time of a jazz a singer, especially as a legend as Ella, this is an album that is worth looking at. And once you hear I Got Rhythm, which is I think on the B side, listen to the structure and see if you can understand the way the song goes, because it's a very familiar sort of structure if you listen to Frank Sinatra before, Sarah Vaughan, even Ray Charles. So you will understand and how the rhythm changes structure changed jazz from then on.
Lovely stuff. Thank you, Telmo. Always a pleasure, as I've said countless times before, to hear not only one of my friends, but somebody who is also incredibly passionate about said subject, just going off on one. That is one of life's great pleasures, hearing somebody who is really passionate about something and knowledgeable, just, you know, really getting stuck in and being able to feed off their knowledge. Speaking of, we have another gentleman with a majestic beard in front of us today who is also going to take us to pastures beyond. It's time for Luke's Spacey Bit. Oh, the jingles make it just so much better. Fire away, Luke. Take us away.
We're going to look at a story that cropped up after Christmas. Essentially, this interesting thing happened. A radio signal was discovered originating from the direction of the Alpha Centauri star system. If you don't know where that is, don't blame you, it's quite far away. Basically, it's the closest star system to ours. So it's a really strange signal. It essentially is something that they kind of picked out of the usual static that you get from a star, from the radio signals that you get from there, and it had a what they describe as an exceedingly curious narrowband emission of 982.002 megahertz.
That's a phrase I really enjoy. An exceedingly curious narrowband emission.
Yeah,
that's brilliant.
Essentially, the point is it doesn't appear to be caused by anything natural, primarily because when you look at a signal from far away, you kind of have the Doppler effect to take into account, which is how the frequency of something will change the further away it moves from Earth. So we would expect the Doppler shift of this signal to go down in frequency as it moves further away, but it's actually went up during the length of its observation. So again, just one of these weird things that kind of makes astronomers sort of prick their ears up and go, we don't think this is aliens. It's probably not aliens, as is often the case, but it is odd. They know of no natural phenomenon at the moment that could explain it easily, but certainly that doesn't necessarily automatically make it aliens. It was listed as Breakthrough Listen Candidate Number 1 because it was picked up by the Breakthrough Listen program, which is run out of the Parkes Observatory. One of the things that's interesting about this is the fact that it was essentially covered in the news, brewing all kinds of speculation. Member of SETI essentially had to reach out and clarify that they said this is definitely a candidate, definitely not what we were calling a confirmed, you know, signal of extraterrestrial life, and because that would be an entirely different news publication. So they said that the signal was detected during 30 hours of observations by Breakthrough Listen during the months of April and May in 2019. One of the curious things about it is that it wasn't really announced until December this year. So that's one of the questions that they want to answer over the next sort of period of study that they're going to put through on this kind of signal and find out why it took so long for it to be analysed or discussed in any sort of public domain. But certainly we don't think it's aliens, again, unfortunately. But humorously, it does have some parallels with fiction. Alpha Centauri is obviously the inspiration for the Trisolaran solar system in the Three Body Problem series written by Se Xin Liu, a Chinese science fiction author. In that book, in that series, a group of aliens would call the fictional version of Alpha Centauri home, plan to invade Earth, and they recruit various misanthropic insurgents to help them do that. And one of the things that sort of starts it all off is a strange radio frequency coming from that area of space. So it all has rather weird parallels with fiction. So I'm sure it's driving the conspiracy theorists nuts, but certainly it is some food for thought, because one of the sort of hypotheses against lots of life being out there, if you sort of look at the Drake equation and say how there probably should be a lot of life in the universe, you then have to examine you have to take into consideration the Fermi paradox and say, well, there isn't. They haven't said anything. No one's speaking to us. And one of the reasons for that is, you know, what is suggested by Se Xin Liu in his series is the dark forest hypothesis, in that maybe no one out there is particularly friendly. So as a result, no one reaches out because other interstellar civilizations are very deadly and don't want anything to do with each other. So I don't know. This is all speculation, of course, but it is humorous that a signal has been heard from Alpha Centauri, or Proxima Centauri to be specific, and it also happens to be the same star system sort of inspired by that, used as inspiration for that series in which a radio signal is heard heralding a mass invasion. But anyway, not to panic, I'm sure it'll be fine. SETI is on the case, and that's it from me, really.
I think that would just top it off, wouldn't it? It's sort of the middle of the pandemic, and then the aliens visit, you know, just to really get everyone going.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of these kind of space stories are blowing up quite a lot at the moment, because you have, I think, 2020 is bringing out the sort of disaster, I don't know, the disaster fetish, if you like. Like, can it get any worse? Well, aliens would certainly top it off, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Especially unfriendly ones.
Yes.
Imagine the preppers are laughing now.
Mm.
It would be quite exciting, though, to see us all dead.
You sound like a member of the Earth Trisolaris organization. You don't want us to survive. Which is a point, actually. If anybody is bored over the pandemic, I thoroughly recommend reading the Three Body Problem series. It's actually called something like the Remembrance of Earth's Past series, but obviously that doesn't, you know, go too well on the billboard, so everyone just calls it the Three Body Problem series. And it's really a decent set of books, quite long reads, but worth the investment, and it is being adapted to a Netflix series sometime in the future.
It's on my shelf. It's ready to go. I know my dad, actually, I think he's read most of them at this point, but he accidentally bought a bunch of them in one book, so it's you know, it's thousands of pages chunky. In one giant brick, as he calls it.
So, yeah. Well, nothing about what I've said has spoiled the story for you. That's pretty much spelled out straight away in the first book. So, don't worry too much.
Can we count that as your multimedia? What do we call it now?
Multimedia amusement arcade. I have no idea. I keep forgetting, and I never write it down, so it changes. You know, every week.
Or have you got something else up your sleeve for us?
No, well, you certainly can keep that. I mean, in my pre-recorded segments, I've been trying to tie some of the news into a sort of science fiction reference. So, by all, you know, as I haven't been present to give a recommendation, so by all means, we can use that. It means I can save something for next time.
Nice one. Well, I mean, the conclusion of the Luke's spacey bit does bring us into the section with YouTube involved. Who's ready to go first? I have
these old clunky boots.
Nothing at all. Actually, no, I do have a very small slice of YouTube, which isn't specific video or channel. Music nerds who are also into their heavy metal and video games will not have failed to hear the Doom soundtrack. Doom 2016 or Doom Eternal, both great. Mick Gordon, the mastermind behind the soundtrack. There's a series of not series of videos, because you know random people are making these, but it's when the Doom soundtrack hits. So they'll be taking random videos from the internet. One of my favorites was, I think, a clip from the video. Is it Step Brothers? With those two guys with the frizzy hair, and I don't know enough about it, but there's that line, so much room for
John
activities. Is that Step Brothers?
It's John C. Reilly and Will Ferrell.
Them's the ones. Yeah. But there's a bit where they sort of land in a field in a helicopter and beat up a bunch of school kids, accompanied by the Doom soundtrack. And yeah, just search on YouTube when the Doom soundtrack hits. If you already like the Doom soundtrack, it'll give you a giggle. If you don't already like the Doom soundtrack, or Doom in general, if you're into your video games and you enjoy a bit of let's blow up some aliens catharsis type stuff, there are a few better places to go, let's be honest. It's in your face, it's gritty and just great fun. To be honest, with really, really good music. When the Doom soundtrack hits on YouTube, that will be my suggestion for the week.
You kind of recommended an entire meme there.
I think I've recommended a meme for the first time in Rack Addict history. A meme recommendation at the end of the show. Who's next? Who's got one primed and ready to fire?
I can go ahead. I've got a YouTube one. I'm pretty certain I haven't done this one before, which was always a concern, let's say. Anyway, I'm not being a very accomplished keyboard player, even though I've got a bit of a synth habit and all that sort of thing. I'm always looking to be inspired, and obviously there's numerous people teaching or coaching or offering piano tuition on YouTube, but a lot of them are, I don't think they're very effective, but some of them are quite good. And but a lot of them seem to be too fond of their own voice, and there's too much talking and not just getting straight down to business and sort of showing you the particular thing that they're claiming they're going to be showing you in the titles of the track. But there's a gentleman, his channel is called Piano with Johnny, and it is designed to sort of steer you to his actual website where they're selling long form courses, but he does these sort of 10 to 15 minute videos, and they lot to tell me you like it, a lot of jazz, a lot of blues, a lot of all sorts of stuff, bebop, that would come into it, wouldn't it, that sort of jazz, and it sort of fits in all that, but
as a branch,
those are the type of stuff, sort of cocktail piano, all that type of stuff that he does. But he'll just focus on one thing. So he'll just focus on improvisation over some blues chords, and they're very easy to follow. It's very professionally done. He's a very competent, extremely competent player, And, you know, he's got it set up really well. So he'll do an introduction. So you're looking sort of from the side and he's talking to camera. But he can reach underneath the keyboard and just flick an overhead camera and suddenly you're looking down and he's got his hands on the keyboard plus a kind of graphical representation that's showing you the fingering or what keys he's depressing. And the way that he explains it, you really get it real quick. You know, there's no kind of what's he, I'm not really understanding it. You really, and I would imagine you could do quite well if you, I'm always swearing that I'm going to sort of really sit down and really dig into this and have a session, you know, sort of really go from lesson to lesson. He's literally got hundreds of videos up. I mean, here's one that really would chime with you. Play like Oscar Peterson. I mean, who wouldn't want to?
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's really good stuff. It's not super basic, so it's not really sort of insult your intelligence. You know, this is a chord, this is a triad, that type of thing.
That's the stuff I need. Where do I find that?
It's beyond that. So he doesn't sort of try and teach you scales, but he's trying to teach you more interesting stuff to do with scales and how to accompany. And he's got left hand and right hand exercises and that. So I think it's much more intermediate, which is sort of more my type of thing. I mean, it seems to go from one extreme to the other. It's either real basic stuff you go on and they're just going, I mean, it's just like, really, you know, this is what you're telling me. This is,
and on the right hand, we play the C major scale now. If you've seen our video about the C major scale, you can click here.
Yeah, there's quite a bit of referencing in that respect, that he's always referencing for longer form lessons and all that sort of stuff. But there's a lot, as I say, it's more intermediate stuff. It's quite good.
Sometimes he's an intermediate player.
The channel name, what was it again?
So it is just simply Piano with Johnny.
Nice one. Telmo, what have you got for us this week?
Now, I was just going to say, even if you're an intermediate player, sometimes it's always good to go back to basics in any time, at any place. My recommendation this week is actually a magazine, which is the sort of recommendation we haven't done yet. We've done YouTube. Ooh. I think I've done
physical
books.
Media. Are you mad?
I know.
What's that?
I am a bit crazy. That's Men's Health. Issue number... It doesn't have a number. January, February 2021. And I went to Sainsbury's this week and I saw it on the shelf and I thought, do you know what? I do want to be healthy and I do want to know more things.
Do you want to be a man as well?
I want to be a man as well. But I do want to know more things about diet, how to fuel my success. I want to know 25 wellness imposters. I want to know about weight loss and longevity. And honestly, despite all the terrible stuff that's in it, it's actually not bad at all. Some of the exercises, the home exercises, are quite useful. You've got some really interesting revamp your veg recipes, which that means you can...
Excuse me, revamp your what?
Your veg.
Oh, right. I heard a different vowel there.
It's my bloody accent, isn't it? I mean, and now with a bit more of a serious talk, there's a very interesting article about views of people about the pandemic. We're talking about people that, but you wouldn't expect necessarily about talking to. This is there's basically an educational filmmaker in there. There's a mental health campaigner. There's also different views of nurses and doctors. And it's essentially how a very interesting view about mental health and the how COVID-19 affected mental health in some places and in some cases, stats-wise, even more than the actual pandemic. So there are some cases where you will find more mental health patients in certain hospitals in the country more than actually COVID-19 patients. It's all in Men's Health 2021 new issue. Restart, rebuild, and refresh.
And get ripped, I imagine, given the cover.
I think it is really affecting everyone psychologically to more or less degrees, and some people are mostly really suffering really badly. I wouldn't relish anyone that's actually living completely on their own, in this time, especially when we sort of when we're forced into these really extreme sort of stay at home orders and complete isolation. I'm glad. I mean, I always I've been expressing this quite a lot to my family. That I'm really glad that I have them with me, and we're all together. Because as I say, being on my own would be pretty intolerable.
A lot of people aren't, and yeah, we have to try and stick together. We're in the golden age of communication, so let's try and make use of it.
Definitely. The more interactive we can be with each other, the better. We have Zoom, we have Skype, we have Teams, we have Google Meet. Feel free to add more forms of video communication, should you so wish. Reach out to your friends. We are your friends as well. Reach out to us on Facebook. We really do appreciate your listening. Stay safe out there, and goodbye. We'll see you next time.